everyone, welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a slimy friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful volcano snail. It is worth mentioning that this animal is also known as the scaly foot gastropod, the scaly foot snail, or the sea pangolin. This, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to Gray Wolf. Thank you for writing in, and I hope you enjoy your very own episode. If you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel yet, Relax with Animal Facts, I encourage you to do that. You can get more of the show, and I'm trying to do uploads once in a while for exclusive little episodes. A huge shout out to George Vlad for the ambiances in today's episode. His work is linked in the description, and I encourage you to check him out. And now, let us begin to wind down a little bit. If this is your first episode, I welcome you to our animal podcast family, and if you are returning, you know exactly what I am going to be asking of you. I have three primary exhortations for you. The first is that you put on some pretty sturdy and heat-resistant shoes. I imagine those exist, after all. We are certainly going to be needing those for where we are going today. My second encouragement to you is arguably the most important. It is that you realize, perhaps, where you are carrying some tension. Is it in the neck, the shoulders, the feet? Regardless of where it is that you carry tension, my encouragement to you is the same. Do your best to relax whatever it is that you are tensing, and you can even bring up in your mind some Jell-O and do your best Oscar award-winning impression of it. At the end of today's episode, I'm actually going to be reading what your favorite Jell-O to become is, so I look forward to that. But if you perhaps don't know how to become Jell-O, or maybe don't even know where you carry tension, that may entirely be the case, and that's totally fine. One exercise can help. You can start from the bottom of your feet in your mind and slowly make your way all the way to the top of the head, relaxing as you go. So, for example, you can first relax the feet, the ankles, the calves, the knees, the thighs, all the way up and up. It's a great way to, one, find out where you carry tension, and two, it gives you an easy way to become Jell-O. My third exhortation to you is that you give your mind permission to wander and journey with me onto the Longkey Field on the southwest Indian Ridge where the volcano snail resides. It might have sounded extremely specific, that is, pertaining to where we are today. Why am I saying the Longkey Field on the southwest Indian Ridge? It is because these animals are exclusively found in only three areas in the Indo-Pacific. That is where we are today, which is south of Madagascar, and they are found on the Kairay and Solitaire fields in the central Indian Ridge, east of Madagascar. They live at the bottom of black smoker chimneys and in diffuse flows. Their entire distribution area is estimated to be 0.27 square kilometers. That is to say, where they can be found is extremely specific, and that makes this animal of particular interest to me. One can call them rare, and I think that's fair. So the scaly foot gastropod, the scaly foot snail, sea pangolin or volcano snail as the scientific name, Chrysomalan squamiferum. This, of course, can be broken up into a bunch of Greek and Latin words. The former part, Chrysomalan, can be broken into two Greek words, chrysos, meaning gold or golden, and malin, meaning wool or fleece. So, the former portion of their scientific name means golden fleece. The squamiferum part is a combination of two Latin words instead. Squama, meaning scale, as in the scales of a reptile or a fish, and ferrum, coming from the Latin verb ferra, which means to carry or to bear. So squamiferum means bearing scales or scale bearing. So their scientific name taken altogether indicates to us that this is a golden fleeced and scale bearing animal. And we will see shortly how this name applies to them. It is also worth mentioning right at the top that we don't know a lot about this creature, or at the very least, we don't know as much as we could know. There is still much more to be discovered about them, but with such a rare animal, there aren't too many to study. So we will try to cover everything that has been covered about them thus far. So, getting into it. Adult scaly foot snails, again, those are the same as volcano snails, simply just different names. They have shells that measure approximately 32 millimeters on average, but can reach up to 45 millimeters in length. They have three whorls and a globose spherical form. Those are some big words, admittedly ones that I had to Google. A whorl is a pattern of spirals or concentric circles. So, when we learn that their shells have three whorls, they have those three patterns of spirals. And a globose form refers to their shape, which is spherical. Here's another word for you, spire. The spire is low, as is the first whorl, and the whorls are tightly coiled. The spire is the part of a snail's shell above the final full whorl. If you have in your mind that very mesmerizing pattern of a snail's shell, that can be of some help. This animal is so mysterious that their larval form has yet to be even observed and characterized. There are many more physical characteristics about this animal that are described in all sorts of lingo. We have already covered many new terms, and there are so many other ones. Try elliptical aperture, periostracum, neritiform, limpidiform, prominent lamellar sculpture. So I don't think it is that worth it to go through and define all of those. I think we covered some important ones. But it suffices to say that this animal looks pretty strange, even as far as snails are concerned. And don't get strange wrapped up with quality judgments like good or bad. I tend to think of weird as good, but that is kind of besides the point. They look really cool. How can a volcano snail not look really cool, after all? But their shell's exterior is frequently covered with a black coating of iron sulfide, given their environment. Now, they get that name, Skelly Foot Gastropod, for a reason. The snail's foot is huge and coated with hundreds of overlapping, hard, dermal sclerites. A sclerite is just a hardened body part. The sheer size of their foot and armor prevented from being fully retracted into their shell's opening. Like many other snails that can just go in and hide, they can't do that all that well. The armored sclerites or plates covering the foot of the scaly foot snail are thought to provide defense against crabs and predatory snails that envenomate their victims. That is, those predatory snails that have venom to deliver with harpoon-like radulae. I feel like there are so many interesting terms here, ones that I have never encountered, and it is sort of impossible not to mention them. This is what scientists have chosen to name their different body parts. I am helpless here. There is also an important symbiotic relationship, that is, a relationship between two living things. And on the volcano snail are bacteria. They reside on the snail's foot between the overlapping plates that they have and are considered to aid in the production of those iron sulfide crusts on the sclerites as well. So the bacteria offer protection and are protected. And a lot of protection is needed for this snail. Being a deep-sea gastropod that lives in hydrothermal vent fields at depths of over 2,400 or 2,900 meters requires a lot of resilience and protection. Those are definitely not environments I'd like to be in. Now, that important bacteria that they have on them serves another important purpose. This chemosynthetic bacteria produces food for them. In these hydrothermal vents in the Indian Ocean, up to 3 kilometers beneath the surface, the chemicals that seep from those volcanic vents are processed by that bacteria, that farm of microorganisms that they have stored in a pocket in their stomach. It is through these chemicals that seep out from those volcanic vents that food is processed for them. A pretty remarkable way of getting energy. One other aspect about this animal is that they have a large heart. It accounts for around 4% of its body capacity. This might not sound like a lot, but this actually makes it the biggest heart in the animal kingdom in terms of body size, by proportion. The size of their heart allows the snail to survive in an environment depleted of oxygen. There's not a lot of oxygen kilometers beneath the surface, around volcanic vents. Like I said, definitely not a place I'd like to be crawling through. The scaly foot snail, or the volcano snail, is the only known organism that integrates metals in the form of iron sulfides into its skeleton, which again includes its shell, as well as those hundreds of external scales that give it its name. One article describes this animal as the ocean's RoboCop. In terms of reproduction, these animals are oviparous. That is, they produce young by means of eggs. There is currently no information about their actual parental investment, what that living situation looks like, so there's not much more to comment on. What we do know, or what we have been able to speculate, is that they might be inactive and solitary, owing to their simple digestive system and lack of reproductive needs. They are lone wolves, or lone snails. I actually like that better. Volcano snails are special because they fall into a small group of animals. Animals that can fertilize themselves. They can create both of those requisite materials in order to do that. And in terms of the juvenile or smaller snails, all that we know is that they have smaller shells than adults. These animals are remarkably designed for where they are. Their esophageal gland is hypertrophied, basically enlarged, resulting from an increase in the size of cells, and they are hypertrophied approximately 1,000 times higher than in other snails. The esophageal cardiac glands release something called neutral mucin. It's used to protect the esophagus from acidic stomach contents. This is pretty important when your diet consists of runoff, basically, from volcanic vents. The general vibe that I'm getting from this creature is that they are remarkably complex. And I can't shake the feeling that there is so much left to be found out about them, which at the moment fuels wonder and maybe a tiny bit of frustration because I want to know more. Unfortunately, those are all of the facts that we know up until now. If you don't know what they look like, I would urge you at your earliest convenience to just look at them online. They're weird, in a good way, and despite our big gap in knowledge, maybe some of you will go into this field and find out more, and let me know. I know that there are some future wildlife researchers listening, and so I look forward to your work. Now, because the name of this creature is somewhat obvious or intuitive, let us move on to the dad joke portion of the episode. I thought this one was pretty good. Check this out. Took the shell off my racing snail this weekend, and I thought it might speed him up. But if anything, it just made him more sluggish. See, that's a good one. It's close to being too clever to not make you cringe, but I'd still consider it a dad joke. This dad joke, by the way, was given by a Reddit user, Ochib. It's not my joke, so I just thought I would let you know. And now, moving on to the Spotify Q&A portion, I asked you guys, has Relax with Animal Facts made your love for animals increase? June Infinito started it by saying, Would you consider re-recording old episodes but with your current audio setup and music? I would love to learn about elephants, etc., but in the current style. Now, while June didn't exactly answer the question on Spotify, this is still something important. Would I consider doing this? Yes. I can't listen to the old episodes for the first and the second episodes ever of the show. I tuned in for about 5 seconds before I heard my smoke alarm in the background. It is reasonable to say I had no idea what the heck I was doing. So yes, I'll absolutely consider it. And I hope that the show has made your love for animals increase. Sonia said, yes, I can't believe how many cool animals are out there. I can't either. I cannot tell you how many animals I've learned about that I didn't even know existed before you guys requested them. The kakapo, for example. How have I gone my entire adult life without knowing about this flightless parrot? And I actually have to say, it is my new favorite animal. I'm sorry to the orangutan, and you will always be close to my heart, but there's something about the kakapo that stirs my spirit. Edgy or edgy, maybe ehi, not sure entirely. But Edgy writes, I already love animals an insane, possibly excessive amount, but I love understanding them better and learning interesting facts. That's a good point. And I think it's one of those important paradoxes in life. An incredibly important paradox if you haven't already encountered it. I think in a very profound way, coming to a greater knowledge of anything means coming face to face with the fact that you don't actually know much at all. It's like by exploring much more of the ocean, we realize just how much more there is left to explore. This kind of knowledge paradox or understanding paradox, I think, is pretty much the prerequisite to wonder, a kind of surrender to what we don't know. So I'm with you, Edgy or Edgy or Ehi. I'm sorry, I'm not sure I know how to pronounce your name, but I agree. I love understanding them better and learning interesting facts about animals that I certainly did not know. And I have to say, as a host of this podcast, I have learned so many facts about animals, but I think the foremost fact is that I don't know much at all, and there is much more left to be learned. And moving on to Apple Podcasts, A Squared Chartered wrote all the way from the United States of America, saying, the world and all of us are lucky to have Stefan Wolf reminding us every week that we are surrounded by amazing and fascinating creatures. Everyone should listen. Thank you for such a kind review. So much kindness crammed into so little. And I'm happy you enjoy the show as you do. And I hope that my reminders every week really do make some sort of difference in your outlook. On Instagram, I asked you guys, what Jell-O flavor is best? Redrei or Redrei12 wrote, not the forbidden Jell-O, referring to the by-the-wind sailor that we learned about just a few episodes ago. To which I agree, probably not the best Jell-O flavor. Maybe the best Jell-O, but to eat, probably not. M.L.H. Yasmin wrote Green Jello. That is a classic. Maybe a green apple Jello, I suppose. I think that historically, I haven't had Jello in a long time, but when I did as a kid, it was red or orange. But I'm not going to throw shade, as the kids say, on the green. More power to you. If you would like to request an animal for a future episode, you can do so by going to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and clicking on the Submit and Animal Request tabs. To reach out to me, Steph Wolf, you can do so by sending me an email at relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com, or alternatively, you can go on the Instagram relaxwithanimalfacts and send me a message there. I have no social media manager, and so all those messages are read by me. I again encourage you to subscribe to the YouTube channel. I think for the videos, I'm going to aim for a mix of enlightening or interesting and funny. Sometimes I think humor can be a really good vehicle for learning, and so I figure I'll try it out. A huge shout out to George Vlad for the ambiances used in today's episode. His work is linked in the description, and I encourage you to check him out. The facts that were used in this episode came from marinebio.org, sciencefocus.com, and animaldiversity.org. What an amazing animal we have learned about today. Perhaps a shorter episode, I'm not entirely sure just yet, but it is just because there is so much left to learn. But what we already know about the volcano snail or the scaly foot gastropod already stirs us to wonder, or at least it should a little bit. And I hope you have enjoyed this adventure as much as I have, and I look forward to the next one together with the next animal. Take care.